AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you today. Matt, Eric, we've got a lot to get to, including an extension of the stay-at-home order, but with benefits. We'll explain that here in just a second. But, so, Eric, I had an incident on the hike today.
Oh, not again.
No, well, this kind of torqued me, man.
You miffed and peeved?
Oh, yes. Old Man Delightful came for a visit. Okay, so let me explain. So I went to a park in Richfield. I don't want to say which one, but it was, you know, I get it that there are some nature reserves that are no dog. Absolutely. I completely understand that. I mean, there's one near our house, actually, where they don't want the dogs in there because they're trying to encourage natural wildlife growth. And, you know, some people don't keep their dog on a leash and pick up after their dog like, you know, good people would in a public environment. So, you know, I can understand that. This park I went to, at no point did it say, did I know that there was a no dogs policy on this, in this nature area. So I'm in Richfield. I go to this park. I walk through what is the maintenance gate. Now, the maintenance gate is wide open, you know, and it's just that's the closest gate. I'm walking through my car. It's like, oh, there's a gate right there. I'll just go in there. So we go in there. There is no signage anywhere on said maintenance gate. And we start walking the path. We pass a few people. Eventually, we get to this elderly gentleman who, and I'm going to try to mimic his voice here. Let me see if I there's no dogs allowed here. No, I can't do it. He was more shrill. He was more shrill than that. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I try sometimes. Can do a good bullwinkle. Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. You know, I can do that. But this guy's voice, unattainable. Now, I believe I said was, and my daughter backs me up on this. Oh, I'm sorry, there was no sign posted. Here's where Johnny Jackass became Johnny Jackass, old man Jackass. He looks at me and goes, there was a sign. You walked right past the sign. There was a sign. No dogs allowed. Stop lying. Whoa. That is when I pull out. You know, this is a voice only my children most of the time only hear. But you heard it when I was in charge of things in the military occasionally, and the guys were screwing things up. And I pulled out one of these, hey, sir, there was no sign. To which the guy then starts mimicking, there's a sign that's this big. There is a sign. You saw the sign. You walked past the sign. And I'm like, Jesus. Dude. Don't, I get it. You might be a regular to this park because I guarantee you I'll be keeping an eye out for you. I guarantee it. I'm going to be keeping an eye out for you, buddy. You might be a regular at this park, and there might be people that walk dogs there, but there was no malicious nature here. And as a matter of fact, at that point, another woman came up to us and said, oh, by the way, there's no dogs allowed in here. There was no sign. She goes, well, it's a sign posted. I said, well, we came through a door that was a gate. Oh, she goes, you came through the maintenance gate. And I said, well, it was open. She goes, oh, yeah, there's no dogs allowed in here. And she was quite nice, and she'd left. This guy, I get it. You, those meddling kids, I get it, Grandpa. I get it. That Frisbee's now yours. That Frisbee's in your yard. It's now your Frisbee. Get it. I get it there, Grandpa. But don't just go because you want your narrative to stay intact. Don't just go on out there and start accusing people of lying. Unless you know definitively that there's lies. And not only did I see the one maintenance gate with no dog signs around it, there was a second maintenance gate that was sitting wide open that had a no dog sign there. So anyone could walk into either one of those gates and not see a sign saying no dogs. Just, ugh. So we got in the car. I ended up going to a delightful Bloomington. You are delightful. Went down there. It was East Marsh Lake. Went and hiked down there. Just a little one-way pond, but there's green heron. Some flowers were blooming. It was lovely. Far better than that. Never mind. I'm not gonna doggone Richfield. But you know, at the same time, come on, guy. dude, just we're all angry, and trust me, I was pretty damn pissed off real fast because of this. Because I mean, I'm kind of stressed too. But just because you want the narrative to be true, step back, Gramps, and ask yourself the question: could this guy actually have walked in here and not seen a sign? Oh, he could have? Well, then you should shut up. All right? All right. Did also the grocery run today. Here is the most amazing thing about groceries. Do you bake at all? Do you do any baking at all, Eric?
Not really.
Yeast. You can't find yeast. Whether it's, you know, any kind of yeast. It's gone. It's pretty amazing how... It's pretty amazing that of all the things, I mean, toilet paper is back, paper towel is back, frozen pizza's back, frozen vegetables. And the meat aisle was somewhat stocked. I didn't really see too much of a problem there. All the fruits and veggies are there. There was rice. There was pasta. There was all these things were seemed to be back, at least in the store I was in. But yeast, can't find it. I also I went to Target today. I had to do a quick Target run, and I will also notice two more things that are really there's nothing there. I guess neither one of these is surprising. It is kind of good to know. The fitness equipment, any fitness equipment. That is just you can't. I was thinking to myself, you know what? Because we got some weights at home, and I've been lifting those, but they're 10-pound weights, and that's and we got lighter, and I wanted something a little heavier, so I'm thinking maybe like a 20-pound kettlebell or something like that. See if they had something like that. Nope, nothing. Their entire home exercise aisle was annihilated, and then puzzles, dude. You cannot find a puzzle to save, which is great. Can I just say this? That is amazing. I think that is one of the best things we can talk about. The fact that puzzles are popular again. It's like a hoop with a stick coming back.
Oh, Jax is coming back. Big way.
Well, who doesn't love Jax, man? I'm going 70s. But no, seriously, that is so cool that they're there. I'd go check. I mean, I got plenty of puzzles at home, ones I've done before. I can do another one. They're gone. And I commend you. That is cool because that's kind of family time. We have ours just set up on a card table in our house, and we're on our third puzzle since the stay-at-home order. And we're going to be done with this one probably by mid-next week, I'm going to guess. And we'll get into the fourth one. But, I just think they're a good family, wholesome, just nothingness. No screen, no stress, no internet, no Twitter, for God's sakes, no Twitter. it's just me. Hey, I'm making a snowman. Look at me.
See, me and my brothers, it's not a non-stressful event making puzzles just because we get competitive. Oh, you haven't helped enough. I have 7 pieces done. You only have 2?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Full content.
We're an intense group
MMA,
of brothers.
MMA puzzling.
Essentially.
he's been studying under the Wysocki School of knees to face.
Well, I'm so good at puzzles, I can't expect them to keep up.
Well, that's the problem I have, too. It's just, you guys got to be working on it. You have to have a game plan you sit on down here. Oh, I think that is actually cool. You can't find a puzzle to save yourself, but that means they're you're getting through it, and you're getting through it without staring at a screen, and that's a good thing. Lynette's in Chaska, she wanted to chime in. Accused of dog crimes, I got to hear this. Welcome on in, Lynette.
Yes, dog crimes.
Dog crimes.
Well, this was, I went to a powwow years ago, and I went, I had my dog with me, and I went up to the table, and you pay to get in, and so I'm walking around, and everything's good, and I got my dog on my leash, and I always kept him on a short leash, and I'm walking, they had vendors selling things, and as they do at powwows, and so anyway, pretty soon, there's this lady that comes up to me. And she says, ma'am, excuse me, but your dog peed on my painting, and I would like you to pay for it. And I said, what? What are you talking about? And she said, yeah, your dog, someone saw your dog with you, and he lifted his leg and peed on the painting, and I want you to pay me for it. And I said, well, he didn't do that because, you know, I mean, if you walk a dog, he would do kind of a presentation before this happened, if anyone knows what I'm talking about,
yes.
Kicking and things like that. So I kept him on a short leash. So I know he didn't, and I knew she was not telling the truth.
Or, well, she was told it was your dog and it was a different dog, but she was convinced it was your dog. I mean, let's go.
She was convinced of it. So yeah. I said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry, but that didn't happen. So I'm sorry, it didn't happen. So now I'm walking, I'm halfway through it, and then now there's two guys following me, and they're like, ma'am, your dog, you know, you got to pay for that painting back there, you know. And I said, what are you talking about? He didn't do it. And so anyway, it just got to the point where the one guy, you know, I'm like, well, I'm leaving now because I'm being harassed because I'm supposed to go pay for this painting. And which I knew didn't happen, and so then now he's threatening to, like, you know, put a rock through the windshield of my truck, and it got very weird, and I said, well, I'm going to call the police, because you guys are harassing me. It was the weirdest thing, and then after I went, I was supposed to meet a friend of mine there, and I never did see her, and she goes, well, everybody knows you're not supposed to have dogs at powwows, and I'm like, what? Well, then why didn't they tell me that when I'm paying? So sometimes this gets very confusing.
I think thanks, Lynette. I'm glad the person didn't throw the rock through the window, for goodness sakes. I will say this. I don't mind leaving the dog at home. And there are plenty of parks I've gone to where you can't take the dog. I mean, we were going to go – one day we're going to go on out to cemetery over by Bede Mikoska. You don't bring a dog into a cemetery. For obvious reasons. Okay, you don't do that. And so, you know, there are places I don't have any problem leaving the dog behind. I'd like to take the dog if I can, but I don't have any problem doing it. It's just that if you're going to have that policy, it really has got to be, you know, let's put it this way. Was there a sign at the regular gate where you saw it? Yeah, I did see that sign. But that was not the first gate I came across that was wide open. Then it's like, okay, here's the trail. Off I go. And then all of a sudden I'm, you know, running. It's old man Jenkins. All right. So let me basically read this to you. This is Governor Walz's extension of the stay-at-home order, but there's a lot of other things in here as well. From building out critical hospital capacity to launching a landmark testing strategy, Minnesota has made meaningful progress for preparing for the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Governor Walz said. Minnesotans have made this possible by staying home and holding down the rate of infection, but now is not the time for sudden movements. There's more work to be done, and we need to keep this virus at a simmer, not a boil. Our actions today prioritize the safety of Minnesotans while taking cautious strategic steps back to getting people safely back to work. Governor Walz made that statement today as he extended the stay-at-home order in Minnesota until Monday, May 18th, in an effort to get more Minnesotans back safely to work while others remain in effect. The order remains in effect. The governor announced that retail businesses and other non-critical businesses will resume operations with curbside pickup. He also, and this is something, he's also part of his executive order today, because Governor Walz is strongly encouraging all Minnesotans to wear manufactured or homemade masks at all times when they leave their homes to any place where social distancing is difficult. Now, I will say this, the walks that I've been going on in the morning are generally pretty sparse. I mean, and it's pretty easy to keep, if you come across someone on a trail, to keep 6 feet away from them. So, but the later in the day, if you get past noon into the afternoon, some of these trails are packed. And so that's going to be one of those things. Even if you're going out for exercise, you're probably going to need if you're going in some place where it's going to be busy, you're going to need to have that mask on. Minnesotans look now out for one another. We're asking that they continue to protect their neighbors and slow the spread of this virus, said Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. We must continue to stay home, practice safe social distancing, and wear cloth masks while in public so we can carefully and responsibly turn the dial towards reopening society. By extending the stay-at-home order, the governor said the state will slow the spread of COVID-19, slowly build herd immunity, protect those working on the front lines by increasing access to personal protective equipment, ensure our health system can care for all those who require care, gradually allow more Minnesotans to return to work, and safely and slowly resume in-person contracts and activities that are critical in our well-being. Our public health workers are putting in a tremendous effort to protect people from this terrible pandemic, and Minnesotans across the state have stepped up to help by following the social distancing guidelines and slowing the spread. Jan Malcolm, that's the Minnesota Commissioner of Health, Starting May 4th, so starting May 4th, which is a week, excuse me, it's coming Monday, right? Is that Monday? I believe that is. Tomorrow's the first, yeah, that's the 4th, a Monday. Starting Monday, retail businesses and other non-critical businesses may begin offering curbside pickup. This will put up to 30,000 Minnesotans back to work in a safe, coordinated way. Businesses must develop and publicly post a plan of how to open safely. All right? So you can't just open. You have to actually post a plan on how you're going to do this. Use online payment whenever possible. Employees and customers should wear masks and protective equipment. In curbside pickup scenarios, social distancing guidelines apply. If possible, customers should not leave their vehicle. In delivery scenarios, items should be deposited outside of customers' residence. Minnesotans should also continue to telework whenever possible, wear face masks in public, screen for symptoms, and regularly check their temperature, maintain physical distance from each other. So, in the time Minnesotans have bought the stay home, Minnesota has announced a landmark testing strategy that will allow us to complete up to 20,000 tests a day and test every symptomatic Minnesotan, built hospital capacity, and finalized a lease on an alternative care site to make sure that all Minnesotans will get the care they receive, worked to acquire more personal protective equipment to protect our frontline workers as well. No, Governor Walz has done a pretty good job. I want to be honest with you. I am definitely afraid of this. I am. If you've studied it all, if you've read it all about viruses and outbreaks and pandemics that have happened, one of the things that generally happens is this: when people don't feel if it's bad. Now, I don't know why people don't feel this is bad. We brought up yesterday, this is the fifth largest individual incident cause of death in the history of the United States. Number one is the Civil War. Number two was the 1918 flu pandemic. Number three was World War II. Number four is World War I. And number five is COVID-19. It has now surpassed Vietnam War with now, I think we're at 62,500 people have died of COVID-19. This is a truly a really bad scenario. And we aren't even close to shutting this down. And yet now people are like, it's been 3 weeks. I want to go get a haircut. And you're like, this is terrifying. When you read about pandemics, when you read about how this stuff happens, the thing which really kind of surprises me is the way that almost every time the first wave is not the really bad wave, that it's the second and third wave. Those are the really bad waves, if there is a third wave. But it's generally the second wave is usually the worst one. And almost every time that's accompanied by this feeling like, oh, it's good enough to start for us to start going back out again. And it's not. And really, can I just, you know, say, I mean, I mentioned earlier, I went out to the store and I was looking for like personal fitness, stay at home fitness stuff. Yeah, the part of me says, you know what, being able to call up one of the sports stores and say, you know what, hey, can I get a 20-pound kettlebell? And yeah, sure, just swing on by, pick it up. I like the idea. If we have it, we can do this safely to where there's limited contact. Great. But I just – every country that has stopped this thing, shut it down completely. Shut it down. Every country that's tried to basically herd immunity or just plow their way through it, it's ended up being a mess. And right now, the United States is the worst country on the planet for COVID-19. It's not even close. We have five times as many cases. We have far more deaths. I mean, I think it's now three times as many, almost four times as many deaths as the second worst country. It is truly horrible here. And basically, people are still insisting getting my nails done is more important than grandma's health. And Jesus, dear Lord, that is just terrifying that that is where we're at. We'll take a break. When we come back, more Minnesota update, a lot more Minnesota update, a lot of things going on right now. We'll get to 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, Hi, this is Mark Bython with Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Rudy Luther Toyota remains open to support other essential services, such as medical workers, first responders, and countless others. You can rely on us to take care of vehicle repairs or replacements. We can pick up and deliver your car to keep it going, and you can handle your purchase transaction, mostly online and by phone, to make it easier and safer for you. We are diligent with sanitizing the dealership and your vehicle, and we are 6 feet apart. Please let us know how Rudy Luther Toyota can help at RudyLutherToyota.com.
Finding the right lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know even where to start. Don't just run an internet search for an attorney. Start with the Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service, an enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They'll connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
Hey, it's Brett with an announcement about a special broadcast we're going to be doing this Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. We invite you to join Take Action Minnesota as we're going to broadcast their Quarantina concert. Friday is International Workers' Day, and this concert will celebrate workers giving us life, tell you a bit more about Take Action Minnesota, and have a free performance from the singer-songwriter Jeremy Messersmith, whose music inspires joy, laughter, and imagination about the future. That's a special Take Action Minnesota broadcast this Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. on AM 950.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metza, host of the Wall and Power Radio Hour, telling you about a great event this Sunday night at 6 p.m. on AM 950. Paul Metza and Sonny Earl, we've been playing together since 1997, are doing a live show being broadcast on AM 950. We're going to be playing my original tune, some blues, a little country, and who knows what else. We might even tell some jokes. Live, Paul Metza and Sonny Earl, 6 to 7 p.m. Sunday night on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I think we should also make sure we revisit the fact that the governor is now saying, really, face masks as much as possible. That, you know, for the businesses that are going to be allowed to reopen up with social distancing guidelines, that is mandatory. That you're not going to be able to open your business unless you have face masks for all employees and a game plan in place. So that's the important part. I think part of this extension comes from the fact that as we have started to test more people, the numbers are becoming more and more realistic that we have got a much larger problem in this country than most people realize and the Trump administration wants us to acknowledge. Another 492 COVID cases were confirmed by state officials Thursday as increased testing begins to capture more of the infections that have spread throughout the state. I want to repeat that. Because we can now test more people, we have 492 new cases in Minnesota. Wow. That brings the total known Minnesota cases to 5,136. And this is, and once again, this is not, whoa, it's this stay-at-home order must not be working. No, no. We are one of the few states that's testing. Trust me. Trust me. If you started this testing plan in any state, without a doubt in my mind, you would see these numbers skyrocket everywhere. That's the real ugliness of this whole thing. The total number of cases in Minnesota now 5,136. 24 more deaths were reported with 343 fatalities so far. Nearly 80% of all deaths have been among residents of nursing homes or assisted living facilities, including 22 of the 24 announced Thursday. Over 90% of the deaths were among those with underlying health conditions. So once again, as we've said from the get-go, underlying health conditions in the elderly, that's where this is hitting hardest. In total, 2,172 people, or 42% of the known cases, have recovered and no longer need isolation. There are 365 people hospitalized due to COVID-19, 130 needing intensive care. That, keep an eye on the intensive care number because, Eric, I don't know if you've been – that has been gradually growing. It started, I think it was last week, we were like 102, it's been up to 111, now we're at 130. That's the key number because if we don't have an ICU unit to put a patient in, that's a ventilator they can't get. That is almost a death sentence with this disease. And that is where we have to, this is that flattening of the curve thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you hear most of the stories that came from Italy, from Spain, is when they couldn't put anyone in the ICUs because they're out.
Because Washington, over at New Orleans, down in over New York City as well. The new numbers come as Governor Walz scheduled to announce his update to the stay-at-home order, which we have just read for you. There have been more than 2,000 tests processed each day since late last week, with 3,279 tests performed on Wednesday. Still, many of those who have caught the new coronavirus have not been tested, meaning that the data on known COVID-19 cases tells an incomplete story of its impacts in Minnesota. Here's where it gets – this is just, you know, heart-wrenching. Nearly 15% of all the COVID-19 deaths in Minnesota are from a nursing home in New Hope, northwest of downtown Minneapolis. In a statement released Wednesday, St. Therese of New Hope said that early on April, 47 residents of the 258-bed facility had died of the disease caused by coronavirus. It's been devastating to a community that prides itself on providing quality, loving care. This is from Barb Rode, the CEO and president of the St. Therese. Rode's statement says that each case's residence's treatments work with advanced directives, which often include do not resuscitate and do not intubate directions. Even after learning that their loved ones tested positive, most maintained their existing treatment plans while others adopted advanced directives. She said that is in part why only a handful of our residents were hospitalized. Only one family asked for more move their relative from the facility after hearing about the positive test. With the results that we've been seeing, roughly one-third of positive cases were asymptomatic, meaning they were living to a point with their roommate and among others in a potentially contagious state, unbeknownst to them or anyone else. The facility moved all positive patients into a unit and wing cohorts. So that is, that's hard to hear. That's just and that is I've been shocked at the right wing talking heads who have kind of taken the new mentality of, well, grandma's got to die sometime.
Yeah, weren't these the people who were so worried about death panels?
Death panels, no death panels. You're gonna get death panels. Oh, until it's grandma and grandpa and makes Trump look bad, then they just need to die. Send them off into the woods. Frankly, if we go back, we're going to have a lot more of this. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. I got business updates and revolving Minnesota and coronavirus when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Are you ready, boy?
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for 25 years. You'll not find someone who loves their job more than me. The process of painting your home could not be easier. Go to nickslavik.com, click on the button Paint My Walls or Paint My Cabinets. I'll personally be in contact with you to get an estimate, either in-home or a free virtual estimate. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. We're not like other contractors.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, money matters.
Oh, you mean those otherwise worthless pieces of paper with famous people's faces on them?
Well, they do say it makes the world go round, John.
Yeah, but if it can't buy happiness, what's the point?
Try imagining your life without any of it.
Well, that's pretty easy to do in my case.
Money matters. Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
The British are coming! The British are coming! The British are coming! Hey, you there! I'm Paul Revere! The British are coming! Where is everyone?
Ben Franklin dispatched an evacuation warning on Facebook. Didn't you get it?
Hi, I'm Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If your marketing is behind the times, contact us today online at socialmediamn.com or at 763-244-4058. We can help your business message get dispatched and selected on social media and Google search. We offer uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions for businesses of all sizes. socialmediamn.com or 763-244-4058.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. The Hey, of course, we have this new membership thing, and we just were tickle pink at how well everyone out there is stepped up to help sponsor AM 950. Thank you very much. We truly do appreciate it. It's very nice that people are out there willing to step up and help support the station. We're flattered. I'm flattered, that's for sure. So thank you very much. Very appreciated. Now, to become a member, all you have to do is go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And then just click on the membership area there, and there you go. You'll be able to sign up. Here's a great deal. We have now membership-only interviews and content for you out there, which is, you're not going to hear it anywhere else. You're going to hear it there. So go there, including an interview with Tom Hartman, as well as also did want to make sure I mentioned the interview with Kurt Brown, I think, is up there this week, as well as also a revisiting of the Jesse Diggins interview. That's members-only content. Members only content with the membership. Sign up, become a member. Thank you. Thanks for keeping Progressive Radio on the air here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Gary is in Plymouth, or as I like to say, Plymouth. Gary, welcome onto the show.
Hi, Matt.
Hey.
Hey, you just read the stats, St. Therese and New Hope?
Yes.
About all the people that died that had a DNR, do not resuscitate. You don't go to that point until you're basically ready to die.
And, you know, that's the you know, it's, well, and but I don't think we necessarily, you know, push them down the hill in the wheelchair. You know what I mean? It's,
and, oh, and, obviously.
And so I think that, you know, people have do not resuscitate. People have, you know, do not intubate orders out there. That's not necessarily saying, you know, well, the next bee that comes in, just let them sting me and I'll die. No, it just means that you don't want to extend life beyond. It doesn't mean that
they didn't want to get infected initially.
It's not like, send in the COVID-19. I'm ready for coronavirus. No, that's not how this works. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but all right. Let's get into business news. First of all, there's a lawsuit now that's out there where the stay-at-home order is in effect, and apparently there's some businesses who are upset with the idea that they can't go back to work. The larger stores like Best Buy and Home Furniture are already getting ready to reopen their scheduled appointments, but smaller businesses are wondering where their turn will come. A fighting chance is what title boxing owners – nice job, Channel 4. A fighting chance of what title boxing owners in Arden Hills are asking for. It's been closed for weeks. Just like Yoga by Bistopia in Blaine, several more small businesses, I'm going to guess, all owned by Republicans. I'm going to guess. I'm a speculation there. That are now part of a lawsuit against the governor. They're demanding that he lift the order that's keeping their doors shut while others thrive. Dan McGrath is a spokesperson for the plaintiffs. It is everyone – It's for everyone who owns a small business in the state of Minnesota and is wondering why I can't sell Nikes at my store, but Walmart down the road can sell them if the shoe's there. Okay, so you're saying Nikes, okay. Here are the list of businesses that are part of this lawsuit. The petitioners are the Free Minnesota Small Business Coalition, the Southwest School of Dance, a dance studio wants to open up during the pandemic, okay. Trev's Kitchen, I'm going to guess a restaurant. Prestige Gymnastics, for God's sakes. Yoga by Bistopia, Title Boxing Company of Coon Rapids, Title Boxing Company of Arden Hills, Title Boxing of Rogers. They're petitioning. Eric, help me out here. It's been a while since I watched a boxing match. Are you 6 feet away from someone when you're swinging at them?
Not usually, not if you're good at it.
How many Nikes are being sold by the Southwest School of Dance, Trev's Kitchen, Prestige Gymnastics, Yoga by Dystopia, Title Boxing of the three locations? How many Nikes? Because that's what your argument is.
Let them sell their Nikes.
Do you get a lot of Nike business at Trev's Kitchen?
Yeah, we can sell Nikes. You can't do anything else.
Wondering why I can't sell Nikes at my store, but Walmart down the road can still sell the same shoes there. I'm only going to have a couple customers in my store at a time. Walmart's got 500 there at a time. Why can't I be open? State officials won't comment directly on the lawsuit, but acknowledge the difficulties of small businesses are facing. And I this is not to make light of the small businesses. It's more of just the And by the way, the governor's response, the governor understands how hard the pandemic is in Minnesotans and their business. The virus has forced the state to take drastic action, but it's action that's within the governor's authority. That's what his response is. I get it. It's a hard time. I get it. I understand that. But you're a boxing gym. You're a yoga studio. You're a dance studio. You're a restaurant. Don't you realize? I mean, first of all, are that many kids? I know a lot of parents with kids. I don't know anyone that wants to take their kid back out to a soccer field or anything like that. Do you really have a line out the door of people wanting to bring their kids into a studio to do dance routines? Is that really where you're at? Are you going to try to keep some sort of distance thing that's going to go on? I just don't quite know where you're going to go with that. It seems to me that you're frustrated. I get it. I don't know. I'm speculating that these might be Republican business owners who are suing. I'm going to speculate. And if this is just about politics, well, it's all about politics. But really, are a lot of people wanting to come and box at this time? I mean, there's a sign up in there's a basketball hoop down the street from my house in my little park. And there's a sign up there that says, don't play one-on-one. I want to know. Is your yoga studio that big that you can get 6 feet between mats? Or is this just one of those things where, you don't care. You just tell people, it's like, well, you come in here at your own risk, and that's just that, but we're going to do yoga. Well, my mentality is this, is if these guys win their case and they overturn this, then the next executive order from the governor should be that if any business opens their doors and starts not taking this seriously, then they are susceptible to all costs revolved about any of their employees or their customers getting COVID-19 because of their lack of action. I think that should be the next one. That, okay, fine. You want to open your business, then if people start getting sick and you want to go against the governor's orders, which is not just the governor, it's the health professionals, the smart people. If you want to go against them, fine. You can open up, but we can sue you for everything you got if I get sick. If my grandmother comes to a dance recital or gymnastics meet and gets coronavirus and dies, and the only thing she went to was your meet, well, lawyer up. I really do not understand some people. I mean, it just, in this day and age of a pandemic, you want to get into a mosh pit. I don't understand this. And I mean, maybe I'm missing something. I don't know how you can do a safe social distancing yoga that's not live streamed. I don't know how you can do a dance recital or a gymnast. I don't know how you're going to have a boxing with social distancing. And restaurants, even the restaurants owners are realizing that this is going to be a problem. I don't know. I'm, like I said, wildly speculating. I guess wild speculation. These guys are Republicans, and they basically drew the straw to sue the governor, with or without Republican, influence on that decision. Just a speculation, just pure speculation. I could be wrong. Don't think I am. Doug is in Minnetonka. Welcome on in, Doug. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
All right, sir.
I turned in a little late, so I'm not sure if you addressed this before, but let's go back to the Affordable Care Act and when the right-wingers were all squawking about death panels and things like that, right?
Yep.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So now the tide has turned the other way, as you were saying, that the Republicans, granny's got to die sometime, all that. I want to tell you the first time I heard this, and it was from Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick in Texas. Now, this man is about to turn 70. I am 68. If he's thinking that, the older people have to step aside and let the younger people take the mantle and make sure that our civilization carries on and that kind of thing, I think Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick should be the first one to go. And then we should go to the concept of, do you remember the movie Soylent Green.
Okay. Well, we all don't. Who doesn't love a big old bowl of Soylent Green?
Just on that. But the way they are carrying on about how the older people, their lives aren't worth as much as the younger people.
And Doug, if I can step on in here really quick, Doug. It's about, once again, and I've said this a few times, I'm going to continue to say this. This is about the fact that you have the Republicans do not want to pay anyone else. They're not going to send out another government check. And they are trying to find a way to not send any more government check, but then be able to look at people and say, well, if you get evicted or if you starve to death, that's on you. That's your – you just didn't work hard enough. You didn't work hard enough. That's what this is all – because they don't care. They don't care. My God, what else do you need to see from the Republican Party that they do not care? This is not about getting American business back because they're not going to come to your business. Are you really crazy enough to think that you're going to open your gymnasium or you're going to open up your dance studio and there's going to be a line of people ready to drop their kid off for a dance class? This is about basically removing the culpability from them to feel any guilt about the fact that people are going to die and people are going to be evicted and things are going to get bad in this country. That's all this is. This sounds like the opening of a bad joke. Governor Walz was joined in a spacious Prairie Holdings Group hangar in North Worthington by U.S. Representatives Colin Peterson, Jim Hagedorn, 4th District Iowa Representative Steve King, Minnesota District 22 Senator Bill Weber, Republican, District 22B State Representative Ron Hamilton, Mountain Lake, Republican. They had a discussion here about the JBS pork plant shutting down in Worthington. Management has closed the meat processing plants across Midwest area where line workers contracted COVID-19 in the crowded, high-speed working conditions. The workplace outbreaks occurred in Midwestern pork powerhouse states with shelter-in-place policies and those without such policies. If America runs out of food, Congressman Peterson predicts a riot. In JBS, as JBS begins euthanizing hogs at the Worthington plant, there's a report here from the Globe. Minnesota 7th District Congressman Colin Peterson shared the news during a press conference Wednesday afternoon alongside Governor Tim Walz and Hagedorn that for the consumer, the euthanization of hogs for the undetermined amount of time will lead to the shortages of pork products in the grocery stores. We're about 3 weeks away from not having any pork in the grocery shelves, said Representative Colin Peterson. This is a Democrat, mind you. It's a national security issue. The U.S. has got to have food supply we can depend on. If we don't have bacon, or he says food, we don't have food, we're going to have riots. Well, yeah.
National security problem.
Bacon. This is the whitest, most privileged riot ever. Honey, I was over at the country club over in the sunroom having lunch. And you're not going to believe this, but they brought me my bacon cheeseburger. And there was no bacon on it. I'm going to riot. Please. Pardon me. I know I'm not supposed to touch my face to my hand, but this one is a good old facepalm. Here's where the facepalm comes in. You're talking about a food shortage as the company you're speaking at is euthanizing food. The call is coming from inside the house.
Typically, food shortages don't refer to a specific food. They mean generalized.
What are you, the Joker? Hey, yeah. Look at me burn all the crops. Guess we're having a food shortage. Woohoo!
What? It's very Marie Antoinette.
It's just
the meat chicken.
You think I can't shoot myself in the foot, then just watch me. Bang! Ow! Yes. Maybe, I don't know, Colin, while you're down there, representative, maybe you should stop the slaughter of the pigs and move them to, I don't know, a processing facility or give them to local butcher shops or something of that nature. How is it that we only can deliver these pigs to this one processing plant, and that one processing plant can deliver them only to one specific store distributor, and that's that? How is it that's the problem with the system, damn it? The fact that the greedy SOBs that run these meat processing plants do not care about their employees, got all their employees sick, and then by the mere fact that you are basically creating a lot of business for the funeral home industry, you basically decided, well, maybe we should shut down. But now it's going to be bacon riots. Jesus. The bacon riots. Sweet Jesus. We used to care about crap in this country, didn't we? And we really, like, you're going to take bacon from me? Bacon? Seriously. Jesus.
It's just another piece of evidence. This is all trying to start the new Muslimic-style Sharia law.
It is. Is this Sharia law? Is it here? Did Ilhan and, oh my God. They're getting rid of the bacon. No, it was the greedy executives that tried to kill off their own employees. That was kind of the problem. Oh, God. Jeez. Stop them from euthanizing their... What are you doing? What are you doing? More than 3.8 million laid-off workers applied for unemployment benefits last week as the U.S. economy slid further into crisis as becoming the most devastating since the 1930s. Roughly 30.3 million people have now filed for unemployment aid in the 6 weeks since the coronavirus outbreak began, forcing millions of employers to close their doors and slash their workforces. That is more people than live in the New York and Chicago metropolitan areas combined. And it is by far the worst string of layoffs on record. It adds up to more than one in six American workers. I want to repeat that. One in six American workers is now unemployed in 6 weeks. So, with more employees cutting payrolls to save money, economists have forecast that the unemployment rate for April could go as high as 20%. That could be the highest rate since it reached 25% during the Great Depression. Oh, yeah, but yeah, Trump's doing a great job. That's a great job. That's a great job. Randy in Coon Rapids is calling now? No. I don't have time to. I'm not going to have time to get him on the air today. I am not. I mean, Randy, don't just call for a drive-by at the end of the show, dude. Come on in. Let's talk about how great Trump's doing right now. Just the magnificent, the buffet of insanity. Come on back tomorrow early. Please. Lee. So I got a question, Eric. I have to put this out. I don't know if I'm going to do this. I have a real debate on whether or not I'm going to dance anymore at the end of the show. And the reason why is yesterday was just depressing. Yesterday was, and it kept piling on and piling on. And at the end, I was like, oh, for God's sakes. But, you know, at the same time, I do know that there are people that watch us on the live stream. You can watch the live stream if you like. You just have to go over to AM 950 Radio on Facebook or Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show on Facebook, and you can watch the show live. It's radio for your eyes. And I know a lot of people are saying, if I can read through all this stuff and at the end of the show still put a dance move on, that things are good. So I'm gonna take a break here, and we'll come on back, and I'm going to make a determination whether or not we're going to do any more dancing, okay? All right, we'll see how that goes. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. I feature one of my favorite guitarists, Mr. David Grissom. From Austin, Texas, David has played with the Allman Brothers, John Mellencamp, Buddy Guy, Ringo Starr, and more. We're going to track four tunes off David Grissom Live 2020, talk to him about his life and music in Austin, Kentucky, and on the big stage. Saturday at 6 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
You know, it is hard. It's the weight. I was talking to some friends last night on Zoom, and it's just the weight of having to read the news every day is just, I mean, it's hard. I started doing dancing as a way to just kind of leave the show with a, you know, something a little more upbeat, because, you know, these shows are heavy, and these are heavy, and I'm going to try to get something a little less lighter tomorrow as well on the Friday. But, you know, like I said, yesterday was a hard day. So the question is, do I continue dancing? And do I continue to play the music, or do I just kind of, you know, take it easy? And as I say, we'll be back tomorrow and see you. I think let's hit a little crisscross. Why not? Just dance! Please! Yeah.
Coming off wet. And for all y'all suckers that don't know,